miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. At half past the hour, we have a great guest coming. At least I expect it to be a great guest. I've never personally talked to her yet, but the book she has written is fascinating, outstanding, irreverent, hard to take, and brilliant. It is Haldol and Hyacinths. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, but it is A Bipolar Life. I'm probably mispronouncing Melody's last name, Mosey. And she, it's just actually pretty lucky we have her this week. Unfortunately, Robin Williams committed suicide. The reason that it's pretty lucky is because she has a lot of expertise to tell us how to spot someone with bipolar illness, what to do to get them help, and then how to get them help, if you will. And so I think that it will be a very exciting and interesting period, if you will, to talk with her, talk with where she is in her own illness and her own, if you will, cure or getting well from the problem. The other interesting issue that we're going to talk about, and we've got a ton of very interesting stories, as you heard already, but this one is the one about sodium. So Dr. Oz and I debated this, and Mehmet said, and I said, the data just aren't there to say that we should go to a low sodium. He said, Tom Frieden, the health director for Mayor Bloomberg, has said that this is his second issue, and we're going to go with it. And so we've got to go with it on the program. I said, I'm not going to go with it in the books, and we didn't. And in fact, it's proven to be, we're proven to be correct, if you will, both by the studies that are out and what has come out. So who should go to low sodium? Very few people. Low sodium, that is less than 1.5 grams a day. The average American's around 3 grams a day, and it turns out that in this data in the recent studies, huge study, it says 3 to 6 grams are where you have your lowest mortality rate. But in fact, the interesting part of this is that if you go, who should go to less than 1.5 grams? It's those with salt-sensitive high blood pressure. Who has salt-sensitive high blood pressure, and how do you detect that? You detect that by, if you have high blood pressure, you go on a very low-sodium diet for a week. That's all it takes, and your blood pressure will fall substantially. Very few people have salt-sensitive hypertension. Less than one-third of 1% of Americans, less than 1% of hypertensives have it. So the interesting thing is it's not very common that you have to go to low sodium. So this week in the New England Journal, there were three articles on this, where should we go on sodium? And it turns out that the largest study, which is called PURE, Prospective Urban Rural Epidemiology Study, provides new evidence saying, yes, the key is, in fact, maybe not sodium per se, but the sodium-potassium balance. And if you're getting 5 or hopefully 9 fruits and vegetables a day, 9 just because that's really where you want to go, you get a lot of potassium with those 9 fruits and vegetables, and that makes things very, very much better, makes you in much better. So the answer is the message is maybe a few people need to get to very low sodium, but not many of us. And for most of us, reducing sodium in our food may make a little difference, but not a heck of a lot of difference. And it may be that the key isn't the low sodium, but is getting a higher potassium, no matter what sodium we have in our food, will be the key. So that's story number one. That's the most important study, I think, of the week. And that's why we called it Wellness Foreplay. Someone has been misleading you about sodium, the CDC, and now Dr. Tom Frieden, who's been wonderful on every other subject. Well, this subject, I think he missed it on, is he's into the low sodium. I don't think we should all go to low sodium. I don't think the U.S. and the country should go to low sodium, in fact. So I'm a higher sodium person than he is, and I think that time will stand. Now, one of the other great stories this week is there's a decline in the U.S. in lung cancer rates and lung cancer deaths. And guess what that relates to? And if you said decrease smoking, you're right. More than 90% of people who die with lung cancer, more than 90% of people who get it and most die, in fact, have smoked, and it is related to smoking. The researchers found that there's a much steeper decline in men than women. That's because there's been a much steeper decline in smoking rates in men. Men had much higher smoking rates than women, so they had further to go, and they have gone further. They're now not far apart in overall smoking rates, and in fact, 159,000 people will die this year of lung cancer. That's more than breast, colorectal, and pancreatic cancer combined. But the decline has been more than 50%. And if you look at, of all lung cancers, as I said, more than 90% are associated with smoking or secondhand smoke. The others, radon and asbestos, are the largest two other groups for, in fact, association with radon and asbestos with workplace, although radon often found in the home as well. So before you buy a new home, make sure your home is checked for radon. Next story is a great one too. The next best study I found was on aspirin halves breast cancer recurrence rates in postmenopausal women and did so even more effectively in overweight women. What is it about aspirin? Well, we've known that aspirin decreases pancreatic, decreases colon, decreases esophageal, decreases prostate cancer rates by about 40%. When you take two baby aspirin a day, it takes about 3 years. Why two baby aspirin? Well, it seems that someplace over 20% of us are resistant to the effect, so that we won't get a benefit from one baby aspirin. We need two. So you want to go with two baby aspirin, half glass of warm water before and afterwards. Always check with your doctor. But it decreased postmenopausal breast cancer recurrence rates by over 50%. It decreased the present rates of breast cancer by about, that is, whether it occurs, by about 35%. So this is really important news in the importance of how, if you will, how big a benefit breast cancer use of aspirin can be in all of us. So probably check with your doctor, because there is some risk, and we're going to go into the risk of aspirin in the second hour. We don't have time to do it in this first hour, but in the second hour we'll go into that. There is risk, and so you want to take two baby aspirin. Almost every man and woman over the age of 35 should do it. Coming up right now, or right after the break, stay with us, because Mind Reviews, Haldol and Hellesens, the great author Melody Mosey. It's a wonderfully written book, irreverent, funny, important, and important this session. We'll